I invite you now to take your Bibles, brothers and sisters, as we open the Scriptures, and we do so in the Gospel according to Luke. And our Scripture reading is from chapter 9, starting in verse 51, and we'll read to chapter 10, verse 20. So Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Hear the word of our Lord. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, for him that is Jesus, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered the village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you, heal the sick in it, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you, hears me. And the one who rejects you, rejects me. And the one who rejects me, rejects him who sent me. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Thus far this first part of our scripture reading, which shows us that after verse 51, when Jesus is really focused on going to Jerusalem, the last journey to Jerusalem, where he will be crucified and die on the cross, that leads to an urgent time in Israel, the urgency of coming to repentance because the kingdom of God is near. This is the background, what we will see in the story of our text this morning. That is from Luke 10, the verses 38 to 42. I'd like to read those verses, Luke 10, verse 38 to 42. Now, as they went on their way, that is Jesus and his disciples, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." That's why the words of our text. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we will meet Jesus in the company of two women, two sisters, Martha and Mary. From other passages in the New Testament, we know there was also a brother called Lazarus, but in this story he does not play a role. Now these two sisters are both wonderful women, but they are quite different. You can have it as siblings, right? I guess some of you can relate to that. You have a sister and she is so different from you. Different characters. Here too, Martha is the active one. She's the doer. She's the go-getter. Mary is the quiet listener, the dreamer. And we can say this because what John is telling us about these two sisters shows the same pattern. It's remarkable. John 11 and John 12. In John 11, after Lazarus had died, Martha is the one who gets up to meet Jesus. Mary is going only after she was told that Jesus had asked for her. And then in John 12, Jesus is having dinner at their place. And what do we see? Mary is doing something with expensive perfume. And Martha, guess what? John 12, Martha served. So you get these differences. And what happens? The sibling who is so different from you annoys you. Do you recognize that? That's family. It doesn't only happen in your blood family, it can have the same in the church. We can easily get frustrated by each other's differences. It is clear that Martha was quite annoyed by what Mary was doing, or better, by what she was not doing. And what does Jesus do with this? He turns it into a teaching moment for Mary and Martha, but also for all of us. How much time do we take to listen to God? We sang about that in the last song, to prepare ourselves. Teach us, Lord, teach us. But how much time do we take to listen to God? To meditate on what God has to say to us. We're busy people, right? We're always in a hurry. We're always running around to get things done. Not only in your personal life or your family life, but there are so many things to be looked after and taken care of also in the church. Lots of running around for God's kingdom. Go, 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 do for the Lord. Christians are always supposed to do something. To the point that we may forget that the church is first of all a listening community. God's word requires first of all a listening ear and a listening heart. Well, that is what Jesus is teaching us here. This is not just about Mary and Martha. This is about Jesus Christ Himself, because Jesus is looking for listeners. On His way to the cross, Jesus is looking for listeners. That's the message this morning. Jesus is looking for listeners. Initially, you get the impression in the text that listening seems useless. That's Martha's idea. Then listening is challenged when she goes to Jesus. But then in the end, we will learn that listening will last. So Jesus is looking for listeners. Listening seems useless. It is challenged, but it will last. Congregation, in Luke 9, verse 51, the beginning of our Bible reading, Jesus has passed a significant turning point in His ministry. There it says that when the days drew near to Him to be taken up, He set His face to go to Jerusalem. He really focused on, this is where I now have to go. Now Jesus has traveled more often to Jerusalem, but from now on, Jesus is purposefully on His way to His final destination here on earth. It's going to be His last journey. He's on His way to suffer and to die on the cross. That's His destination. And He knew it, but He does not walk away from it. On the contrary, He walks right towards it. And it means that from then on, all the things that are happening are overshadowed by the fact that His suffering and death are coming so close. It makes the message so urgent, as we've seen in the scripture reading. Well, one of those days, as Jesus and His disciples were on their way, as it says in verse 38, He came to a village. Now, Luke does not mention the name of the village, but the names of Martha and Mary and Lazarus are connected with the village of Bethany. You'll find that in John 11 and John 12. And so they come to this village, and then a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. She invited Him and His disciples over for dinner, and she welcomed them to stay there. That was not because she ran a hotel or a bed and breakfast. No, Martha, Mary and Lazarus were Jesus' friends. That's right. Jesus had friends. He had lots of fans who were following Him. There was a growing number of foes who hated Him. But He also had a few close friends. Jesus was a single young man in his early 30s. And He had male and female friends that loved Him. That's a blessing to have, also for Him. He was often on the road and was traveling and walking from town to town. And in those circumstances, He is ministering to many people. But who is ministering to Jesus? Who takes care of His needs? Well, Mary and Martha do. Their house is open for Him. Here He can come and get a meal, get a shower, get a clean bed, a quiet place to rest. Here He can relax. Friends. So yes, Martha opens her home to Him because she loves Jesus. She wants to serve Him. She wants to make Him feel comfortable at home. That is a lot of work. Right? Jesus is not by Himself. There's disciples with Him. So you can imagine that Martha was kind of overwhelmed when all of a sudden these 13 men come for dinner and need a place to sleep. Now, she's not regretting it. It was her invitation. But she gets into the kitchen and she thinks, how am I going to do this? Do I have enough lettuce? Do I have enough chicken? Who's going to make the salad? Who's going to chop the cucumbers and the tomatoes? What do we do for dessert? Ladies in the church here, I'm sure you can sympathize with Martha with that. I mean, when was the last time that your husband rang you at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and said, by the way, I have invited 13 men over for dinner tonight, and you need a place to sleep too? Ooh. You say, yes, dear, but you go to the kitchen and you think, how in the world am I going to do this? So many things to look after. It's too much. It drives me insane. Now, today, you could say, well, why don't you take them to McDonald's, dear? Or you can order a stack of pizzas. But Martha couldn't do that. She had to do it all by herself. Everything. She is so busy. She's running around because she's feeling responsible for everything that needs to be looked after. Now, Martha does have a sister. It says that here. She has a sister called Mary. Verse 39. So where's Mary? What's she doing? Well, she was sitting at the Lord's feet listening to what he was saying. Mary was in the living room spending time with Jesus. Now, sitting at the teacher's feet is a typical biblical expression to describe the attitude of a dedicated student. And that is how Mary listens to Jesus. She's full of attention. She's full of reverence and respect. Jesus is on his way to his cross in Jerusalem. And somehow she must know that because Jesus has talked about that also to his disciples. So Mary took plenty of time to use the opportunity to learn from the teacher Jesus. But Martha is busy in the kitchen. She's worried about all the things that were on the to-do list. That was too much. I'll never get ready in time. She doesn't have time to sit at Jesus' feet and enjoy his presence. Not yet anyway. So much stuff needs to get done first. Listening to Jesus seems useless at this point. Because you never get anything done when you just sit there. When you read the story and hear about it, brothers and sisters, you'll often get the impression that Martha gets the bad rap. And then the application goes like this. Martha's wrong. Martha's bad. Mary's good. Be like Mary in your life. Don't be like Martha. Now that kind of approach can easily lead to competition in the church. Yeah, think of that for a minute. Today. Yes, you do a lot, but I listen to Jesus. I may not be very active in the church, but I read the Bible and I pray a lot. That's better than all the running around and do this and go there that you are so busy with. But it's not a matter of competition. Let's not dismiss Martha as if she was doing all this work in the kitchen for her own sake. After all, she was the one who welcomed Jesus in her home. And his disciples were welcome. It's an awful lot of work, but she does not say no. Martha goes out of her way to serve Jesus. It's an honor for her to welcome him and to show her deep love for him by taking good care of him. Martha has many good things to go for her. She really is a godly woman with a deep desire to do great things for Jesus. Martha loves Jesus, not only with pious words, no, she's committed. And she gets things done. She's dedicated. She does a great job in the service of the Lord. As a matter of fact, what she is doing seems to be more productive than just sitting and listening. Even if it is listening to Jesus. After all, Jesus must be tired and hungry. And in the end, it's because of her hard work that he and the disciples will get some food. On the other hand, just because you don't do much, that does not mean that you are like Mary. Be careful. Be careful. Don't say, I don't do things in the church. I'm not getting involved. I'm making it easy because I'm not such an activist. Why not? Because I'm just as holy as Mary is. Yeah, right. Doing nothing is not evidence of holiness. Doing nothing is evidence of laziness. It's good to notice here that Mary is not doing nothing. She does first things first. Jesus is on his way to the cross. It will not take long anymore before he will be taken away from his friends. There is still opportunity to listen to what he has to say. And that's what she chooses to do. Now to Martha, such listening seems useless. Not because it doesn't mean anything to her, but because of other more pressing needs at the moment. And she needs to learn that's the wrong priority at this point in time. However, that being said, if all that Mary is ever going to do for the rest of her life is listening to Jesus, reading the Bible, praying, worshiping, and nothing else, she's also wrong, but in a different way. Well, it's obvious the tension is building, especially in the kitchen. Where's my sister? Anybody seen Mary? Oh yes, she's in the living room, having a good time listening to Jesus. Sisters, indeed, congregation, the tension in the kitchen is building. That's what it says in verse 40. But Martha was what? Distracted. The Greek word means that she was totally absorbed, totally preoccupied with what she was doing. What was she doing? She was distracted by much serving, it says. Perhaps she would have liked to listen to Jesus too, but she thought she couldn't afford the time. Too busy doing other stuff. And then you have this lazy sister. Martha was distracted. Can you be overcommitted in doing things in the church? Yes, you can be. Even in the church. With the best of intentions, you can become so preoccupied with things to be done in the church that it absorbs too much time and too much energy. Does the Lord want you to do that? Now, you may think He does. After all, you're serving Him. But does the Lord really want you to get so distracted? Martha gets more and more frustrated. And not only with Mary. Then she could have talked to Mary directly. And she probably would have done that. It would have been easy enough to tap Mary on the shoulder and say, "Come on, sis. Don't just sit there. Get up and do something." But she doesn't do that. She addresses Jesus. She's resentful towards Him. He seems to be okay by what's happening, and that's what's bothering her. Martha's fed up with Jesus. He doesn't seem to appreciate all her hard work and all the energy that she is putting into serving Him. Again, it's beyond doubt that Martha really loves Jesus, is fully dedicated to Him. But now she's disappointed. She's convinced that Jesus needs her care and service. But He doesn't understand it. He doesn't seem to understand that this is more important than listening to Him. And she's going to challenge Him on this. And so Martha interrupts her activities, goes up to Jesus, and gives Him an earful. She sounds pretty annoyed. Don't you think so? "Lord, don't you care?" Uh-oh, that doesn't sound right. "Don't you care?" That's the wrong thing to say to the Son of God who was on His way to sacrifice Himself. You can hear Martha's resentment. "Does anyone realize how hard I have been working to get things done here? And why? What do you think? I love Jesus. He needs a meal. He needs a place to sleep. They all need that. No one ever helps me to get stuff done around here. I threw it all by myself. What good is listening going to do when there is so much else to do? Do you call that serving what my sister is doing? As a matter of fact, I am the one who is really serving Jesus." She's frustrated, all right. We can be that way too, right? We have to do something. We don't have much time to sit around, spend time with Jesus, and listen to what He says. No, no, there is kingdom work to be done. We're not going anywhere with the church or in the congregation if we don't roll up our sleeves and get things going. Many of us have this Martha mindset. Right? That's kind of characteristic for the Reformed churches all over the world. Nothing is going to happen if we just sit there and listen. You see needs in the church, and you're going to work hard to meet the needs in the church. That's what God wants you to do. Somebody has to do it. And then we can easily get frustrated. We get annoyed. How many of you have felt this way sometimes? "I do all this stuff in the church. I'm sitting on this committee, and I'm helping out as a volunteer here and for this event. And I'm helping out to get things done today and tomorrow and next week. And everyone takes it for granted. I threw it all by myself. No one cares." That's Martha. And then she starts bossing Jesus around. "Don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Do something, Jesus. You know that I love you. Don't you appreciate that? I mean, just sitting down and listening to you, it's nice and dandy. He doesn't get food on the table. Martha is so focused on all the things that she needs to do. She's so busy with all the things on her never-ending to-do list. She's preoccupied with all the things that are not getting done. If she doesn't take care of it, it leaves her anxious and frustrated. And now she's challenging Jesus because he doesn't even seem to notice. But this Martha service, is this what Jesus needs most when he steps into Martha's home? She may think so. But she has appointed herself to take responsibility for doing things that Jesus did not tell her to do. And then she ends up being frustrated when Jesus does not do what she tells him to do. Now, there may have been an added reason why Martha rejects the whole idea that listening to Jesus is a good way of loving and serving him. She must have known that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And in her mind, as in the mind of many people, even his disciples, that meant he was on his way to usher in his glorious kingdom. You can imagine that with this mindset, Martha was even more convinced. Just listening, not doing anything, is not going to cut it. Jesus needs people on his way to the cross, on his way to his kingdom. People who are willing to do something for him and to do something for the coming of the kingdom. How do we look at the coming of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters? Do we see it as a kingdom of doers or as a kingdom of listeners? Is God's kingdom built on Christian activities? Is God's kingdom built on our hard work in the church? Is that what Jesus asked you to do and to be busy with, to help ushering in his kingdom? No, it's not. But hang on, some of you might think. Are we not called to do kingdom work? Does Jesus not want us to be actively involved in serving him hands-on? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. But that's not what it starts with. If that's what you start with, you will end up distracted, frustrated, burned out by your never-ending to-do list for God's kingdom. Look at Martha. She doesn't ask what Jesus is looking for. She thinks that she knows what he is looking for. But she is forgetting that his kingdom is a kingdom that comes by grace alone. And that access to the kingdom of God is by faith alone. That's why Jesus is looking for listeners. Now, by now, those among you who have a Mary mindset are probably thinking, this is a great sermon. The Marthas among us are getting it this morning. Perhaps. Let's first listen to Jesus' reply. Congregation, Martha must have been surprised, perhaps even shocked, by Jesus' response. Whatever she may have expected, not this. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered. He mentions her name twice. What does it tell us? Now, first of all, it does not sound stern. It doesn't sound like Jesus is angry or mad or something like that. He doesn't shout. It didn't sound like, Martha, Martha! No. Jesus corrects her, but in a way that shows his affection, his love and patience and understanding. But by saying her name twice, he stresses also that what he is going to say is serious. He wants to reach out to her in an endearing manner, calm her down, and show her what she is missing. Dear Martha, you are worried and you are upset about many things. I know you're frustrated. I know you're anxious. You're worried. This is never going to work. I'll never get all this stuff done in time. Martha, I understand this. But remember this, only one thing is needed. Now you have some explainers that say something like, well,
What he's actually saying to Martha is, you're busy with the dessert, you're busy with the meat, you're busy with the potatoes, you're busy with the lettuce, you're busy with everything else, but all I need is a cookie. That's not the point. This is one thing. Jesus obviously refers to what Mary has chosen. I know what the purpose is of everything on your to-do list, Martha, says Jesus. You love me. You want to serve me by giving me the good things you prepare for me. And I appreciate that. But there are just too many things to do. You are right. You'll never get them done. But you begin at the wrong end. How about starting with this one? Come and sit here and spend some time listening to me. That's what Mary is doing. Not because Mary is too lazy to do something, but she has chosen the good part. Now, some translations say that Mary has chosen what is better. Technically, you could do that, I guess, but the word better suggests competition, as if one is the loser and the other the winner. But that's the wrong focus. Without condemning all the serving Martha is doing, Jesus wants her to know that listening to what he has to say is a good thing to do. In other words, he approves what Mary is doing. Mary realizes that she needs, first of all, the message of God's grace. She needs the message of God's love in Jesus' suffering and death. She needs to spend time with Jesus Christ and with the Word of God to grow in faith, to grow in love and commitment. In John 12, verse 3, Mary shows the same attitude. Jesus is looking for people like Mary. Jesus is looking for listeners. Why is that so good? Well, says Jesus, it will not be taken away from her. Listening is good because it will last. It has lasting value. That's the way it works. Listening to Jesus and being with him through the Bible and in prayer, in meditation, will always be the most important thing in the lives of God's children. Because the benefits of that will last forever. Now, where does this leave Martha? As I said, Jesus does not reject or condemn her activities. He appreciates her loving service. But she was not what he wanted her to be. He missed her, or even better, he makes clear that she missed him. And so he invites her to join him and Mary and the others. He wants her to spend time with him, to listen to what he has to say, to enjoy his presence. Jesus is looking for listeners. Does that mean that hands-on activities in the service of God are out of the picture? No, they are not. You cannot enter the kingdom of God if you're only a passive listener and not an active worker. And so indeed, brothers and sisters, it is not Mary's good, Martha's bad. It's not be like Mary, don't be like Martha. We need both. We need both. In the church of Jesus Christ, we need Mary's heart and Martha's hands. But in the right order. This is the point. Mary first, then Martha. Spend time with Jesus Christ in your life and listen to his word. Be encouraged, comforted, and strengthened by him as you meditate on the gospel. And then get stuff done. Listen, worship, pray like Mary, and then get to work and serve God like Martha. As I mentioned before, if all that Mary ever does is listening and studying and praying and singing, and nothing else, she's wrong and neglects what God calls her to do. If you do what Martha does, you don't take time to listen, you study God's word and you pray, but it's only do, do, do and go, go, go in your life, you'll end up distracted and troubled and frustrated. You know what the problem is with the Martha mindset? You will never get done with everything on your to-do list. Why not? Because the list gets longer and longer all the time. There's always more to do. But if listening to Jesus is going to be the last item at the bottom of your list, you know what's going to happen? You will never get to that. If all you need to do is do, 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 and listening to Jesus, yes, yes, later on, when I have time for that, you never get around. And that's bad news. For then you lose your contact with Jesus Christ and your relationship with Him will be suffering. Jesus is still looking for listeners. Also today. So what is your choice? What is your priority? Are you too busy to sit down at Jesus' feet and listen to what He has to say? You can be so busy with many things for many good causes. You can spend time on many activities. And they all need you. If you don't do it, who's going to do it? But be careful. Be careful. Don't volunteer yourself to be the savior of the world or the savior of the church. That job has already been taken. But spend time with the savior of your life and listen to His voice. That's what we need first. Take time to listen. Take time to read and study and meditate on the gospel of Jesus Christ, the holy word of your God. Spend time with God in prayer. Let that inspire your activities. Keep the perspective of eternal life by grace alone. And never overlook that perspective. And then work. And then you can work without getting distracted and worried. Make your merry time your first priority. In fact, this is how God has designed every week already. Every week starts with a Sunday, the day of rest and worship. Every week starts with a Mary day. We don't work today, we spend time with Jesus Christ. We listen to what He has to say. We spend time praying and praising and worshiping God. And then on the Monday comes the Martha time. That's the order. Yes, Jesus Christ is still looking for listeners. My brother, my sister, no matter what is going on in your life, no matter how busy you are, keep listening. When God speaks in His Word, He wants your listening heart, ear, so that He can reach your listening heart. Amen.